corkers are very secretive, so I've only ever seen three corkers in my whole life. The most distinguishing feature of the corker could be he's the craic. So it's like rubbing two combs together. My name is Fergal Quinnegan. I'm a part-time farmer. Main job is a vet, and I have 25 acres in Northwest Mayo, just outside Belmull town. I've around 1 acre of nettles, around a third of iris, around 0.1 acres of hogweed, and I've sowed another plot of reed canary grass, fodder radish. I have around 5 to 6 acres of species-rich fen, and the rest would be kind of traditional hay meadow. The main thing I do in the farm is I manage it for a corncrake. I'm in the National Parks Corncrake Farm Plan. What we're trying to do is establish different types of habitats for the corncrake when they arrive back from Africa through the summer and into late autumn as well. The corncrake needs vegetation that's 20 centimetres high, and the main plant they seek out is nettles. Corncrake is a kind of a wrong name for the bird, really. They should be called the nettlecrake. So the highest densities of corncrake are found in extensive nettle habitats. The corncrake would eat basically what a blackbird would eat. It'd eat slugs or snails or insects or earthworms, and all that is found in a nettle bed. They provide great protection against predators like foxes or hooded crows or gulls, which would be a lot of them in my area as well. I suppose I'm from farming background, my father, and I always wanted to farm a bit of land myself, and a real interest in kind of biodiversity and corncrakes especially. When my father used to be telling me stories about the corncrake in Kilkenny, he's cursing them the whole time. They'd keep him awake at night. You remember he'd curse them to shut up, and then as the 80s came and the 90s, they're all gone then. So it was kind of a sad story then, like, you know, he used to curse them when they were there, and then when they weren't there, he just wished for time to be back raking and keeping them awake at night again, like, you know. Where he grew up in Kilkenny, like, it would have been corncrake everywhere, curlew. You know, all those things are gone now, like, you know. If you ask a young person in Kilkenny, did they miss a corncrake? They're not going to miss corncrake because corncrakes were never there when they were alive. So you're not going to miss something that you never heard about or never knew anything like, you know. Yeah, when I bought the land in 2011, it was kind of heavily grazed. So it was kind of an old farmer there, and there was cattle on it like 12 months a year. So it was fairly skint. Obviously, there was no corncrake there because there was never any cover if you're intensely grazed like that, like, you know. And then I approached the national parks. So I approached Dr. Barry O'Donoghue, who's in the national parks, and they have a scheme specifically for corncrake. Barry came out, had a look at the farm, and an agri consultant, Michael Martin, he came out as well, did up a plan for the farm, what I'd have to do, how to manage the meadows, how to grow nettles, how to manage my iris, how to grow hogweed. People might think, oh geez, there's nettles everywhere, but it's kind of a fairly precise, nearly art, creating an extensive nettle bed. They need high phosphorus to grow, so what you do is you buy in well-rotted farmyard dung, which is high in phosphorus, or spent mushroom compost, and then what we do is we dig out nettles from a big horse estate in Kildare. For around 200 square metre nettle bed, you dig up around 200 nettle sods, around 0.4 to 0.5 metres. Then I bring them to a farmer who I used to work for, and we wash the nettles there. So we wash all the soil off, pick off any of the scotch grass or chickweed or cleavers or anything, and then we bring to Mayo, and then we sow the washed nettle rhizomes in the mushroom compost. So after 3 or 4 years after I bought the farm, the first corncrake arrived on the farm and took up residence. As I don't live on the farm, I wasn't the first one to find the corncrake on the land. The National Parks, they have a field worker. He does a census of the corncrakes every year. I asked Barry that, could he let me know the minute the field worker heard a concrete on the land. So the field worker texted me at 12:30 at night, texted me that there was a concrete on the land. So I rang back him straight away. And it was like over the moon. It was like winning all Ireland for me, like, you know, all the hard work put in just to know there was a concrete there. So I took day off work and drove up to Mayo just to listen to the concrete then on the land, like, creaking away, like, you know. It was, like, fantastic, like, you know. So, like, there hadn't been a concrete on that land for 16 or 17 years, like. You know, you create that habitat, you know, your own hands, just to create a habitat and just so that they're coming back, like, you know. It's just unbelievable, like, you know. I suppose a lot of farmers are disassociated from nature. Like, even if a young farmer goes in and does his green search, they learn nothing about biodiversity. It's not really taught, really. Like, the government push intensification, like, biodiversity is given a second mention. Common farmyard species like concrete, like, there was only 162 colomeas last year. There was only around 125 curlew in the country. Grey partridge, which have been common all over the country, they're restricted to three places in the country. Common species like blackwing, they're nearly gone too, like, you know. People have lost connection with biodiversity like that. When you lose a connection, you don't care about it. Like, if you go into ag college there and you ask them about a curlew, most of them won't know what a curlew is, like, you know. This time of year, I'll be up in the farm every 3 weeks. So you'd be creating nettle beds. There's a lot of maintenance goes into nettle beds. There's other species there as well. So we sow a crop of fodder radish and kale for twice. So twice, there's only around 50 to 100 pairs left in the country. So I get a wintering flock of maybe around 20 to 30 birds every winter. Twice would be... It's just a small little brown bird. It'd be smaller than a sparrow. During the winter, when they're on the farm, they've a lovely yellow bill and they've lovely buff colour underneath their chin. And then the males have a lovely salmon pink rump to them, like, you know. We give them, as well as the fodder radish or the kale, we give supplementary feed of Niger seed. Well, we got tough back breeding on the farm, so the national park. So I rang up Barry one day. I says, what can we do to get Chuff? You got a free RSP nest box for me. So I contacted Kennedy, my neighbour, and I said, Kennedy, you've been here around a long time. Where's the last time they were breeding here? And he says, he's breeding the roon on my farm. So we put the Chuff box up in the exact same spot he remembered, like, 15 or 16 years ago, where the Chuff nest. And then within a year as well, they were back nesting on the farm as well. I suppose, like, a lot of agriculture is dog-eat-dog in agriculture in Ireland at the moment. Like, farmers are under pressure, trying to make a living, and they're so... A lot of them are stuck in a rut that they're just... You know, you're worried about the next milk check, how good the factories are paying for beef. Even my next-door neighbour, he generally didn't care about the concrete, but from talking to me there now... You know, every time I'm meeting him, he's always asking me, geez, your nettles are doing good. How are the iris going? How is the hogweed going? And he sees me putting in the work. When I bought the farm, they used to call me the Yank. Like, I was the outsider who came in and bought up the land. Like, but now, you know, they don't call me the Yank anymore, which is kind of good. Like, but to see the passion and the hard work he put in and the enjoyment it gives me, and even my neighbour then, PJ Kennedy, he's his name, he gets great enjoyment out of hearing the concrete on the land as well, like, you know.